Okay, good morning everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our Shabbos Kodesh class learning. I hope everyone had a meaningful 2 weeks since the last Erev Shabbos Kodesh class. I just want you to know I get very nice feedback which I share with our hostess slash sponsor who wants to remain anonymous. People, they WhatsApp me or email me how meaningful the class is. Their Shabbos is not the same. Erev Shabbos preparation are not the same. Fridays we don't have it. So it's a big chazuk. I thank our sponsor and hostess very much for her continued dedication to this year. And for all of those who learn with us, who zoom in, and who listen on YU Torah. So let us continue with our learning. We're on page 43, really, the top of the Sefer. I'm just going to go back to page 42 and not do the same insights, but just to, as an introduction to the insight that I want to share, I'm going to begin by reading page 42 once again, not repeating what I said last time. Okay, so there are other aspects of Shabbos that seem to make no sense. In the Aseret HaDibros, again, I'm just reading with Pinchas. I'm not taking the time to repeat the insights that I shared with you. There are other aspects of Shabbos that seem to make no sense. Excuse me. And the Aseret HaDibros, the 10 declarations in Sefer Shemot's Parshas Yisro, Shabbos is a zechira l'maisa bereishis, a remembrance of the creation of the world. But in Sefer Devarim and Parshas V'aschanan, which were almost up to Devarim, by the way, Shabbos is called zechir l'tzias Mitzrayim, a remembrance of the exodus from Egypt. The connection between Shabbos and Yetzias Mitzrayim is not so obvious. Shabbos came into being on the seventh day of creation, of Pinchas writes. It existed in a certain form even before Yetzias Mitzrayim. Furthermore, the connection between Shabbos and creation, Ma'aseh Bereishis, is also not as obvious as it seems, says Rav Pinchas. Imagine a man works long and hard, and he wants to construct a great building. When the structure is finally complete, what does he do? He retires to an easy chair, he stretches out his legs, and he takes a good rest, says Rav Pinchas. If we wanted to imitate something he did during construction, to remember the construction, why do we choose resting? It would be more appropriate to remind us of all his hard work by doing hard work. Likewise, if we want to commemorate creation of the world, most appropriate would be to work hard, to perform various forms of melachas machshavas, creative labor on Shabbos, and you'll remember that Hashem created the whole world. We should engage in all 39 forms of melacha. We should make a special bracha, we should say the Shem Yichud K'tishu Brichu. Our labor is in remembrance of the work done by Hashem. Hashem created the world. So I am creating to remember that there is a Borei Olam. Think about that. It makes sense. We say Shabbos is to remind us there's a Borei Olam, creator of the world. So if I remember there's a Borei Olam to commemorate that, I should work. I should be a Borei. But that's not what we do, obviously. But the Torah commands us not to work. Shabbat, I always say it all the time, Shabbat is cessation. We must cease. Shavisa. We rest. What is the meaning of rest? In Mincha on Shabbos, I'm at the very bottom of page 42, we say, a rest of love, menuchas ahava unedava, and generosity, a rest of truth, menuchas emes ve'amuna, a rest of faith, peace, tranquility, quiet, and security. What are all these kinds of rests? That's the last question of this section. That's atop page 43. So I'm going to take a break now from Rav Pinchas and quote from Torah Avigdor, Rav Avigdor Miller. So I'm just going to put it, excuse me, for your reference on the chat. Everyone could see who I'm quoting from. 1 second. Right, so I'll just read you what I posted. Rav Avigdor Miller was an American rabbi, author, and lecturer. I'm reading what I posted here. He served simultaneously as a communal rav, Mashkiach Ruchani, a yeshivas chai in Berlin, and a teacher in Beis Yaakov. He was born in 1908 in Baltimore, an American-born gadol. And he died in 2001 in New York. His place of burial is on Har HaZesim, in the Halak Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. So, just like those who learned with me last night, Pirkei Avos, sometimes we don't know the names, we don't know the details of the lives of the Tanaim and Amoraim. Similarly, sometimes we don't know some of the details of the American Gedolim that we quote. I was at my brother's house a few weeks ago, on Shabbos, I think it was, or Sunday, I don't remember, and this was just there, laying around, Torah Avigdor, Sefer Shmos, Vayakha Pakuda, and it was called the Shabbos Sanctuary. So I picked it up and I started to read it. I said to my sister-in-law, can I take this? So I teach a Shabbos Kodesh class every Friday morning. This is very relevant, what I have been reading. And it's really very relevant to what we just learned in Rav Pinchas' Sefer. So I'm going to quote, I read through this, I only highlighted the sections that I would like to quote from. But it's mamash dafka, exactly what we are speaking about. So Rav Shimshon Pinchas has been speaking about this idea that Shabbos represents the Creator. Even though there's a Creator who created, we might think logically, if I want to represent creation, so I should create on Shabbos. I should do Melechas Machshavas, that's what he says. We should perform various forms of creative work on Shabbos. We should engage in all 39 forms of Melacha. You should say a special bracha that your labor is in remembrance of the work done by Hashem to create the world. Obviously, we don't do that, so the question is why. And this passage from Torah of Vigdar, does it say a year here? Doesn't say. I wrote on the front 5781 for myself, but doesn't say. Okay, so we're going to go to some teachings of Harav Avigdor Miller Zatzal that really touch upon what Rav Pinchas is speaking about here. I forgot to make sure everyone is muted. I'm sorry. Okay, a world of construction. The 39 Avos Melachos represent all the various forms of building, all forms of creating in this world. So everything that a person can do to create in this world is somewhere within those 39 of Melachos. And the Shomrei Shabbos, those who guard the Sabbath, are making a demonstration to the world. What do we demonstrate to the world as a Shomer Shabbat, Shomer Shabbos? All week long we're busy working. All week long we're busy creating. But on Shabbos we tell the world, we understand this is all product of our imagination. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only creator. We think we're creators. We do. We work, we create, we build, we bake, we cook, we sew. Everything that we do, we tan, we grind, etc. It's all products of creation. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only creator. And really, everything that we do, we think we're in charge, is all a figment of our imagination. What is Shabbos after all? Our Rav Avigdor Miller teaches. For what purpose is it a Shabbat Shabbaton, Shabbos Shabbaton, a day of ceasing from all activity, the ultimate cessation? The answer is we're making a demonstration, not one demonstration, 39 demonstrations. And what are we demonstrating? Vayichal Elokim Bayam Hashvi. God finished on the seventh day, Melachto Asher Asher, the work that he did, Vayishbos, and he stopped. So whether you want to say Shabbos means cessation, Shabbos means to stop, I reiterate it all the time. That's the definition of Shabbat. It does not mean to take a nap, even though I enjoy Shabbos afternoon rest if I'm not speaking. That's not what it means. It means to cease. By Yom HaShvi, it means at the advent of the seventh day, he stopped. Subsequently, therefore, nothing else came into being after creation. On that day, he stopped all the work, Asher Bara Elokim La'asos, that he created to do. Now, this has already been explained, says Rav Avigdor Miller, but I'll touch upon it briefly. La'asos, that he created to do. Ani osam mashu, I am doing something. La'asos means that God created to do. Hashem created everything from now on. La'asos means that it should do on its own. The way Hashem created the world, he finished creating. He ceased. That he created, and he created them with the power to do. So what does that mean? Hashem did all work on those 6 days of Ma'isa Bereishis, and it ends with La'asos, Asher Bara Elokim, that God created La'asos. He gave the sun the koach. Oh, yeah, I gave a shir on this a few weeks ago. Remember, always have left. The sun doesn't really rise and it doesn't really set, but we just talk about it as if it does. So Hashem gave the koach to the sun to rise in the east and set in the west. La asos, on its own. Hashem gave koach for the water to evaporate, go up, make clouds, and rain to come back down, and there's a whole cycle. Hashem made koach for the birds to chirp. It's la asos. Nature now runs on its own. Of course, Hashem created that nature, and Hashem gave nature the power to run on its own. Therefore, la'asos means Hashem created everything from now on should do on its own. From now on, the world swings into action. From that day, that moment of Ma'isa Bereishis, when Hashem ceased creating, and it looks like it's doing on its own. So Rav Miller says, I give an example of the sun and the moon rising at night and the tides coming in and going out. All the animals are busy reproducing. It doesn't look like anyone's in, that's what he says. I'm quoting from this kunchos. All the animals are busy reproducing. It doesn't look like anyone's standing over the lion telling it to mate and have cubs in the time of season when it's mating season. No, it just looks like that's what lions are doing. All the plants are busy reproducing. Someone was just here The other night, she is works in a classroom in Halb, and she was saying that someone gave her a cacti. Cacti is a singular, I think, right? At the end of the school year, and she said she doesn't have a green thumb. She doesn't know what to do with this. She doesn't know what to do. So I said, you know, I also thought I never had a green thumb when we moved here 4 years ago. August is 4 years. Someone gave me a plant. It's named Tzemach, like Tzemach Hasada. It has a special place next to my Melechik sink by the window, and it's Bli Ein Hara. I shouldn't talk about it. Amazing. It's constantly getting new pink flowers, and someone else gave me a plant a little while ago. I forgot what they're called. It's almost like cacti, but it's not cacti in this glass enclosure, and there's more new buds sprouting. It's amazing. So I said, if you don't want the cacti, give it to me. I'll take care of it. I didn't get it. Okay, all the plants are busy reproducing. The water from the ocean turns to clouds and rain. The rivers, it brings back water to the ocean. It starts all over again. Everything seems to be going by itself. Because that's how Hashem created. Asher bara Elohim, that's what we say. La'asos, Hashem created it in order to do. Meaning, that's how you're going to hear tonight in Kiddush. Yom HaShishi, it's from the last pasuk in Perek Aleph. Lamed Aleph. And then Perek Beis. So come Aleph through Dalet. Hashem finished the heavens and earth and all their hosts. So this is the passage from the Chumash that we recite in Kiddush that Rav Miller is speaking about. God finished on the seventh day his work that he did. So he ceased on the seventh day from all the work. So he blessed the seventh day. He sanctified it. Because on that day he ceased from all his work. All the work that Hashem created. He gave koch to the plants to reproduce. He gave koch to the animals to reproduce. He gave koch to the water to make a cycle from river, seas, up to the clouds, back down through rain. Everything seems to be going by itself, says Rav Miller, because a Kodesh Baruch Hu does not show himself anymore. That's how he created the earth. Though people could be mistaken into thinking there's no creator. I was reading. I took a break from it now because someone gave me, oh, she was on the Zoom. She was here before she left. Okay. Someone gave me the new biography of Rav Shimshon Pinchas. It's extremely interesting. So, Lahavda, I'm sorry. I had been reading, I started a book on Ronald Reagan. He was a good man. He was a good man. I stopped. And asked him to give me a biography of Rav Pinchas. She said, since we learned Rav Pinchas is from, I thought you might like the biography. But it's very interesting. The biography of Ronald Reagan, he has a son apparently who's an atheist. So, he told one of his advisors he wants to give his son a beautiful, fancy meal. And when the son finishes the meal and he finishes enjoying, he's going to ask the son, do you think somebody cooked this meal? Is there someone who cooked the meal? That's really a beautiful lesson for us in recognizing the Ribbono Shel Olam. You look at the whole world, says Rav Miller, the plants reproducing, the animals having offspring, the rain coming down, and you look at the world and you don't see Hashem because he hides himself. He's not creating anymore. La'asos, he has nature to create. So therefore, he's hidden. That's what the whole world looks like the whole week. We go into action too. We're doers, says Rav Miller. We're creators. That's what it seems like. So Ronald Reagan said to this advisor, he's going to give his son a meal, and a beautiful meal, a sumptuous meal, a delicious meal. Then he's going to say, do you think someone made the meal? Obviously, someone made the meal. So if you look at the world, how could we say no one made the world? But Hashem created it in a way that a person could be confused. There's room for doubt. If a person wants to say there's no God here, Chalik the Vachas, obviously we don't say that. And you know, you look out the window, you see the sun shining, the green grass, the beautiful leaves. There's no one here running the show. And then we come to the sanctuary of Shabbos, says Rav Miller. And we give up all of our pursuits. Everything we're so busy creating during the week, you stop. And we take time to reflect. And you should ask yourself on Shabbos, says Harav Avigdor Miller, is the world really going by itself? There's a whole week. That's what we think. The animals go by themselves. The plants go by themselves. The cycle of water goes by itself. And everything that I do also goes by itself. On Shabbos, you should think, is this really going by itself? Absolutely not. We go back to the Torah and we read in Bereishis, Bara Elohim, Hashem created. Shabbos reminds us of the fact that once there was no universe. There was just a great void. A tohu, vavohu, v'choshech al pnei tohu. That's what there was. Chaos, primordial darkness. One big zero, ayin. There was nothing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everything out of nothing. Out of nothing, yesh me'ayin, something from nothing. And the only thing that he created with was his word. Vayomer Elokim yehi, that's creation. So Salvechik actually points out something interesting. We say the world was created yesh me'ayin, something from nothing. But he says it's not really true. The world was really created, says the Rav Yesh Meyesh, something from something, that something, capital S being the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not that there was nothing here before. God was here before. The Torah was here before. So Hashem really created Yesh Meyesh, something, meaning this whole world, from himself, God, and from the Torah. They were here before. But since the human mind cannot grasp what this means, we could say about, we can't understand what that means. Ruach Elokim rachafes al pnei hamayim ve'yomer kimi hi ar. What does that mean? That there is choshech? I don't even know what tohu v'vohu really means. God's spirit is hovering over the surface of the water. What water? There was no water. Bereishis bara Elokim, eisa shemayim ve'eisa arts. The beginning of Elokim created the shemayim and arts. Va'arts ha'isa sohu v'vohu. The earth was sohu v'vohu. What earth? There was no earth. V'choshech al pnei tohu v'choshech. There was no choshech. Ruach Elokim rachafes al pnei hamayim. What mayim? There was no mayim. Ayom Elokim here, ve'hir. So Rav Soloveitchik says we have to say yesh me'ayin because we can't conceptualize what it means that there was yesh me'yesh, that the world was created out of God's very essence, that the world was created from Torah. How could something exist before anything existed? Well, Ma'aseh Bereishis is obviously the most esoteric parts of Torah. We can touch less than the tip of a very massive iceberg. But Rav Miller said there was a great void before the universe. There was one big zero. There was ayin. But keep in mind the Rav's caveat. Kosh Baruch Hu created everything out of nothing. Vayomer Elokim Yehi. And God said, let there be, everything was created. Ah! The person who just gave me their Shimshon Pinkus biography just came back. But she missed what I said. And if we would get electrons, so Hashem created the world. And if we could somehow get electrons to stop moving, the particles that make up the world, I'm not a scientist, I'm quoting from Rav Miller, the whole thing would collapse, the world would collapse. If you could get the electrons to stop moving, the world would collapse. Not into dust, it would collapse into nothing. Not, oh, you know, when the twin towers were Chaman Adson, Hashem Yirachem Aleinu. Is it going to be the 20th anniversary this year? Yeah, I think, right? It was 9/11/01, wasn't it? So it's going to be the 20th anniversary. So there was dust, there was particles. Rav Miller says, if we could get electrons to somehow stop moving, Hashem gave koach into nature to keep creating itself. If Hashem would take away that koach from nature, the world would collapse. It doesn't mean the world would collapse into dust. It means it would revert back to absolute nothingness, which again, we can't really understand. Nothing, nothing, nothing. The whole universe would be nothing. It wouldn't be here. So the whole world is really ayin, says Rav Miller. Even now, the whole world is nothing except the word of Hashem. The only thing that holds up the whole world is Vayomer Elokim Yehi. And if Hashem would take away that force of continued creation from the world, even though it looks like he's not here, why? That's what he put into Ma'aseh Bereishis. Asher bara Elokim, Hashem created, comma, la'asos. Think about this tonight when you hear it in Kiddush, okay? Think about that. Kivo shavat mikom lechto. God said, I'm finished. Chalila, I'm ceasing. Asher bara Elokim, the Hashem created, comma, la asos. You run yourself, in brackets, in parentheses, so to speak. Of course, it's not running itself, but that's how Hashem created the world. But the truth is that Hashem took away that ability from the trees to do what they're supposed to do, from the sun to do what it's supposed to do, from the rain, from the lions, to the giraffes, and the whole world would cease and it would be nothing. So that means that even now the whole world is nothing. Ein o mevado. It's only the word of Hashem, but we don't see that the whole week. The whole week we think the world's running itself. The whole week we think we're running the world. Then you come to Shabbos and you remember that it's not so. Hashem gave the order to the world, get busy, says Rav Miller, and it happened. He told all the energy particles come into existence, start moving, vibrating, rotating, orbiting. And everything came into existence, and that's what we see. This is one of the great principles of Shabbos. I'm almost finished. Not the shear. That's one of the great principles of Shabbos. The world came into being from nothing at all. So this is, we don't usually think about Yesh Me'ayin when it comes to Shabbos, but what you're supposed to be thinking about is there was nothing, even though we don't understand exactly what that means. And even today, there's nothing in the world, says Rav Miller, except Dvar Hashem. It's very hard sometimes to remember that. That there's nothing except Dvar Hashem. I'm not criticizing because I'm not in such a position. I'm not a Rav. I'm not a Gadol. not a leader. I don't even live in Israel. But you see a government, so I'm not, I'm stating a fact. You see a government in Israel that was formed with the help of the left, Arab party. An Arab party should decide the law for the state of Israel. And sometimes we think, Hashem, where are you? You look at politics in America. There are many Jews who live here. We don't know what's going on. We don't know what's going on. Anti-Semitism. There have been a few cover stories recently. I don't know if you've seen a Mishpacha. Last week or 2 weeks ago, it was excellent coverage on the murder a few years ago. Remember Sarah Halimi, who was murdered in France? It was horrific. The neighbors heard her screaming for 20 minutes. They called the police. Her Arab neighbor murdered her while he was screaming passages from the Quran and Allah Akbar. When the police came and they heard what was going on inside, they didn't enter. They were waiting for the anti-terror unit. Ultimately, the neighbor threw off the balcony. So a couple months ago, there was the murderer totally got off. I mean, the anti-Semitism in France is horrific. There was an article, interview with her son who lives in Israel a couple months ago. And just last week, there was another article, and it's excellent coverage. So sometimes we forget that Hashem, there's only Hashem. And it's very hard because the way he made the world, la asos, he put into the world this koach to run itself. Every time I say that, I'm putting it in quotation marks. That's how it appears to us. So we see a state of chaos. There's some tohu vavohu in our world. It didn't totally disappear. In fact, it didn't disappear. Rav Soloveitchik says it's always hovering beneath the surface. The world came into being from nothing. And even today we have to remember, no matter what we see going on, all the things we don't understand, there's only Dvar Hashem. That's all that really exists, the word of God. B'dvar Hashem Shemaim Nasu. By the word of God, everything was made. And if he would withdraw his word, says Rav Miller, if he would take back his will, he desires it, so it came into being, everything would collapse into one great zero. Not dust, not like the Twin Towers were pulverized, Rachmana Litzan Hashem Yirachim Aleinu, and there was mounds and mounds of dust and debris. You could say that was destroyed and collapsed. That's not what happened to the world. If Hashem took away his dibur, his vayomar, his ratzon, asher bara elokim, then there would be nothing. One great zero, one great void of nothingness. That's one of the great principles, says Rav Miller, and I quote the whole thing I'm quoting, except my added commentary. We are expected to think about on Shabbos. This is what you should be thinking about. And we usher in Shabbos with Kiddush. Elcha Dodi, the Kabbalists in Tzfas, came much later. 1500s, 1600s, they would go out into the field. Shabbat to begin the Chadodi, right? There's Tfilas Arvis, and then there's the Kiddush. And you start Kiddush with this passage, Friday night, Kiddush is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Shabbos days, d'orabanan, Friday night, Kiddush is d'oraisa. Asher bara elokim, what should you be thinking? La asos, it's an illusion. Hashem is the creator, but he gave the world the power to run on its own. So I look at the world and I see an illusion. And this is one of the great principles, quote, we are expected to think about on Shabbos. Every Shabbos, we affirm this great principle, that even though, quote, it seems nature is performing on its own, it seems like politicians are in charge, it seems like the anti-Semites are in charge, it seems like this whole world is upside down, it's not true. Really, Hashem is still there. That's what you need to think about on Shabbos. That's the strengthening of Emunah. No matter what happened this week, what I did create, what I didn't create, what the world created, what the world didn't create, it's really the Ribono Shel Olam. Every Shabbos we affirm this great principle, that even though it seems nature is performing on its own, it's not true. On Shabbos La'asos, really Hashem is there. Everything we see, quote, is only a manifestation of Hashem's imagination. And just like he was originally controlling the first 6 days of creation, it was so obvious in Perak Aleph of Bereishis that Hashem was creating everything during Sheishas Yimei Bereishis. You wouldn't look at any of the psukim there and say, oh, it's running by itself. Because it wasn't running by itself. He wouldn't say, oh, the sun and the moon just appeared in the sky. It's obvious that Hashem created it. He was originally controlling everything during 6 days of creation. You have to know he is still, he says, pulling all the wires, quote, like a man managing a puppet show. So you're in the audience, you only see the puppets, and they did a great job of not being able to see the wires. So you think the puppets are controlling themselves. The whole world is nothing but a puppet. all of nature, which looks like it runs by itself, all of our ability to create, which looks like man is so great, we're all only acting according to his orders. That's what you need to think about on Shabbos. Everything that happened good this week, everything that was a challenge this week, everything that was successful this week, every endeavor you did that maybe wasn't so successful this week, Hashem's pulling the wire. So we think we're doing, and nature thinks it's doing. La'asos. And that's what you're supposed to understand on Shabbos. That's what you are supposed to understand on Shabbos. Torah of Avigdor by Yaakov Agudi. You can see why I want to pick this up. I don't know. I guess I wasn't. They have little kids kind of everyone was running around, so I was looking for something too. So I just picked that up. I said, "Wow, can I have this, please?" And she said, "I said I'll return it." She said, "No, just keep it." That's what you're supposed to understand on Shabbos. We abstain from work. Shavisa Malacha Shavat. The whole name of Shabbos is called Shabbos. The whole name of Shabbos is called stop. Stop creating. Stop la'asos. That's what you're supposed to understand on Shabbos. We abstain because we remind ourselves, no matter what it looks like outside, what we're busy with for 6 days, what nature is busy with for 6 days, everything, quote, is still being managed by Hashem. Absolutely no less than during the Shesh Yesimei Bereishis before la'asos. Just like Hashem created the Rakia Shamayim, we spoke about Rakia Shamayim last night. Just like Hashem created the Tzemach Hasada, my plant is named Tzemach. Just like Hashem created the sun and the moon, I spoke about the sun and moon rising in the west and setting in the east. Okay. Just like you wouldn't say during Shesh Yesimei Bereishis, Hashem wasn't here, because he was obviously here. But after that, he turned it into the stage of La'asos. Now you run yourself, Kaviyachal. So there's room for a person to be a kofer. There's room for a person to say there's no God. Man is so powerful. Man creates. The world creates. Shabbos comes and you must reorient yourself. And you'd see that if we didn't have Shabbos, this is an important message for us. We're not only talking about the Umas Olam and the Kofrim. It's us who have to be Shomer Shabbos. We have to guard this idea that all of our creative work is an illusion. That's what you're supposed to understand on Shabbos, says Rav Miller. We abstain. Because we want to remind ourselves, no matter what it looks like outside, or no matter what it looks like during the 6 days of the week, everything is still being managed by Hashem, absolutely. No less than during the 6 days of creation. The 39 malachos, the Lamed Tes malachos, those kinds of work we don't do, are a demonstration for Shabbos. 39 separate av malachos, demonstrations that God is doing everything. And so we don't do anything. And it needs to be a big chizuk. It needs to be a big chizuk for when you're successful in life. It's easy to think. The Torah says, "Beferish parachas of dvarim kochi ve'otzem yadi asali esachayalze v'ram levavcha v'shachachta Hashem elokecha." When you think you do all the work, your heart will be haughty. You forget God. I'm not telling you this. Parachas dvarim. Beferish. You work so hard. You think, look what I did. You'll forget about God, says the Torah. So when you're successful, you need to remember and keep Shabbos. When you had a hard week and it didn't go your way, you also need to remember and keep Shabbos. What does that mean, Shabbat? Keep the idea of when it goes my way, it's from Hashem. And when it doesn't go my way, I'm trying to make a heart. It's also from Hashem. That's what you're supposed to think about on Shabbos. That's what you should think about. He's expanding upon the words that we say in Kiddush, which are the opening psukim of Perek Beis, like I already told you. That's what you're supposed to think about. I'm being controlled by wires. A puppet. No matter what it looks like the other days of the week, this is from the Ribbono Shel Olam. By the way, it's good to think about this on Shabbos, says Rav Miller. Continuing. When you pass by the electric switch, add a little thought, he writes. He mamash writes this. Obviously, no one here is going to turn on the light on Shabbos. But what should you think when you pass by the light? The reason I'm not flipping on the switch. What's the reason? Is because I'm making a demonstration that Hashem is the borei and I am not. Even something as small as flipping on a switch, we take it for granted. But imagine telling them 200 years ago, 150 years ago, in the Shtetlach in Europe, you know, there would be such a thing that you would just turn on a switch. You don't even think about what goes into making the electricity come into my house. I know that the Chazon Ish in the early years of the state, again, I don't live in Israel, I certainly don't know about this in the Halachos, but there were some Gedolim who would not rely on the Chashmal, Meretz Yisrael, on Shabbos, because it was a Jewish state and it was being created and run by Jews. I'm not commenting halachically on any aspect. I have no idea. But when you flip on the switch, a lot is happening. That is a creative force. It's creative work. So Miller says, when you pass by the electric switch, if you could add a little thought. The reason I'm not flipping on the switch, not just I'm not going to turn on the light, is why? Because I'm making a demonstration that Hashem is Borei. You don't want to do it every time you pass by a switch? Okay. But if you could remember a few times, he writes. Now the truth is you're doing it anyhow, by automatically refraining from turning on the light, by automatically refraining from Bishul and Afia and Shechita and Hotzah, from doing the Malacha of the Mikdash, then automatically you're testifying that God is the Borei and you are the puppet. But there's a big difference in the quality of the building when you do it with intention, with your thoughts of what you're trying to build. So in other words, automatically by not turning on the light, you're attesting to the fact that Hashem is a creator. But when you think about it, you have an added kavana. And when you have an added kavana, there's a big difference in the quality of that Shmira Shabbos, because you're cognizant of God. In one case, you're passively not doing any work. In another case, you could say you're actively reminding yourself of why you're not doing any work. So it's not just, oh, that's Asr, I'm not going to do it. Why is it Asr? And what does it attest to? So he writes, obviously no one's going to do this here, but Rav Miller writes, teaches this. That's why when your fingers are itching to write something on Shabbos, so, I mean, Rav Miller teaches, so I'm not going to argue with it, but I don't know, I don't think any of us have a desire to actually write something on Shabbos. But let's say you have some Chidushei Torah. Excuse me, you feel like taking a pen, you feel like writing it down. One second, I want to get a chumash, I want to tell you something. 1 minute. I'm coming back. I'm back. Obviously, I wasn't planning to say this, or I would have had the Lachomish on me. Okay? So last week, I was learning Parsha. I noticed something I never noticed before. Parshas Korach. You want to hear something really interesting? Okay, listen to this. Perek Tes Zayin, Pasuk Chof. Parshas Korach. Hashem tells Moshe and Aaron to separate from the assembly of Korach and his Edah, Dasan and Aviram. Immediately after this, the ground's going to open up and swallow them. So what does Hashem say? Perek Tes Zayin, Pasuk Chof, in the book of Bamidbar. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe v'al Aaron Lamor. He badlu mitocha eda hazos. Actually, I'm going to do something else. I'm going to make it easier. Do you see my screen? Yes, thank you. Okay. Perek Tes Zayin Pasuchof. So look at this. Here you go. Easier if you could see my screen. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe v'al Aaron Lamor. God spoke to Moshe and Aaron saying, He badlu mitocha eda hazos havdala. Totally separate yourself, make a separation, a divide from this assembly. Va'achala osam karaga. I will destroy them in an instant. So they fall upon their faces and they say, the God of all spirits, one person sinned. Are you going to get angry at the whole assembly? And what happens? Hashem, the ground opens up and he swallows them and everything that is to them. Ve'yovdu mitocha kahal. And they are lost. So remember this pasuk, okay? He badlu mitocha edazos, pasuk of Aleph, va'achala osam kiraga. I'm learning Chomesh. And then, fascinating, come to Perek Yud Zayin. And in Perek Yud Zayin, excuse me, the Bnei Yisrael are complaining against Moshe and Aaron, Atem Hamitem Es Am Hashem, you put the nation of God to death. The people, remember Korach, Dasan, Aviram, the 250 men, they're finished. Ron Ben Pelas' wife saved him. Beautiful Shir, not for now. Okay. Now the people are complaining the next morning, and they're afraid, and they see what happened. You put to death the nation of God, and they gather in great strength against Moshe and Aaron. Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Hey, Romu mitocha eda hazos v'achalo sem karaga. How interesting is that? Do you notice it's the exact same lashon? Hey, Romu mitocha eda hazos v'achalo sem karaga. Parak Tazayin Pasuk of Alf was he badlu mitocha eda hazoz vahala osem karaga. Parak Tazayin Pasuk Yud is he romu mitocha eda hazoz vahala osem karaga. It's mamish exact same lashon, except the first verb. By Korach Dasan of Yirman 250, man, it says he badlu. When it comes to the Bnei Yisrael, it says he romu. So that's the pshat. So my point is that I was learning the Chumash on Chumash Vatri on Shabbos, and for some reason, I don't know, Pokei Chivrim, it just didn't occur to me before, I noticed this, and I never noticed it in all my years of learning Chumash with Rashi. That's why you have to keep learning. Even if you've learned it before, don't say, oh, she told this over already, I heard this inside, I already read this Pasuk Chas V'Shalom. Hashem could always give us new eyes to see and understand things we haven't seen. The Gemara says you can't compare what you learned 100 times to what you learned 101 times. So it's very important to keep learning, even if you think you did this topic already. Learn it again. Anyway, so there's nothing in Torah as an accident. It's fascinating. When it comes to Korach and Dasan and Aviram and the 250 men, God says, He badlu mitocha eda hazos, la havdil, havdalah, put up a separation between you and them, havdalah, motzei Shabbos. There's an absolute separation between the Kedusha of Shabbos and the Chol of Chol. Va'achalosem karaga. And in fact, God destroys them in an instant. When it comes to Knesset Yisrael, the Rebbein Shalom says, "Hey, Romu mitoch edozos v'achalosem karaga." So, I thought about this on Shabbos. The reason I thought of it now is because Rav Miller says, "Let's see if some chidushei Torah. You feel like taking a pen and writing it down." So, I definitely did not feel like taking a pen and writing it down. But sometimes it happens that you feel, "Oh, if only I could write it down." I had a horror for a shir. If only I could write it down. So the funny thing is, my in-laws were here Wednesday evening. We had a graduation barbecue dinner, Baruch Hashem, in honor of my daughter, their granddaughter, Kaneinahara. So as they were leaving, my father-in-law says to me, you know, on last week's parsha, there's two psukim. I said, ah! I said, he badu he ramu. And we were so excited because we were talking about that. We noticed the exact same thing at the exact same time. So he mentioned that he had an, it was very exciting. Because as soon as he said, I don't know why, I knew what he was going to say. And we both noticed this for the first time. He lives in Flatbush, and we live in Wimir. And he just happened to mention it Wednesday night as they were leaving. So this is what I was thinking. So now that I brought up, I'm going to tell you what I was thinking. He badu is absolute havdalah. When it comes to Korach, Dasan, Aviram, and 250 men, they were such rishos. They were such rishos. Yeitzu nitzavim. They refused to negotiate. They were so absolutely right. It was such a negativity that Moshe and Aaron had to absolutely separate from them. There could be no association with them. Hey, Rome was a very different shoresh. Reish Kmen means to lift up, Rome. Hey, Romu mitocha eda zos v'achalosem karaga. And then Hashem does not destroy Knesset Yisrael. Dasan, Aviram, Korach, their rechosh, 250 men, their houses, their children, chmatzon, they are destroyed. But Knesset Yisrael is not destroyed. If they were destroyed, we wouldn't be here. Hey, Romu, perhaps Hashem was saying to Moshe, you as a leader have the koach to lift these people up. I'm angry at the people, but your task as a manhik is really, hey, Romu, to lift up Knesset Yisrael, to take them out of this sin. If you don't, va'achala osam karaga, but your whole tafkid as a leader is, hey, Romu, lift them up, and then I will not have to destroy them. Okay, so let's go back to Victor Miller. That's why when your fingers are itching to write something down on Shabbos, let's say you have some chidushei Torah, you feel like taking a pen, so I don't think we do, but sometimes you think, I wish I could, maybe. Or when you feel your pockets Friday night before you leave the synagogue, you don't want to carry into the street. Utilize these moments. Don't just say, I'm not taking a pen because it's usher. Don't just say, I'm not flipping on the lights because it's usher. Go more than that. Oh no, much more than that. What should you think? I'm not writing today, even though I want to write down the two psukim. Tes Zayin Chof Aleph and Yud Zayin Yud, he badu he romu, otherwise the Lashon is all exactly the same. I want to write it down, but I'm not going to write it down. Why? Why are you not carrying into Rishuas HaRabim? Not stone because it's usher. Go deeper than that. Because today is dedicated to building Shabbos. That's what Rav Miller says. You should think to yourself, I'm refraining from these things because today is dedicated to building Shabbos. What does building Shabbos mean? Shabbat. The idea that with cessation comes the reminder that me as a creator is a facade. Nature that runs itself is a figment of my imagination. I have a certain amount of time. I have 24. Usually it turns into 25 if you make early Shabbos, 26, 27, Baruch Hashem. I have more important work to do. I have more important things to build. What do I have to build? My relationship with Hashem. I have to build Shabbos. I have to build my Amunah. Menuchas Ahava Unadava. Menuchas Emes V'Amunah. What Pinchas quoted from Shabbos Eftinu Mincha. Whenever we come to an opportunity to refrain from work on Shabbos, says Rav Miller, if you add the thought that this is a demonstration that Hashem made the world from nothing, Yesh Me'ayin, and remind yourself He is really still creating, even though La'asos, by the way, I've heard Rabbi Zavlev also speak about that idea that La'asos means Hashem gave us the capability to do. Rabbi Zavlev says similarly on that pasuk, not as in depth as of Harav Avigdor Miller, but that la'asos means Hashem finished and now He gave us the koach to do. So you should remind yourself on Shabbos when you're not allowed to do, when your ability la'asos stops. Hashem made this world out of nothing. And think to yourself, why am I not writing down these two psukim and what I think the interpretation is? Not stump because it's usher to write on Shabbos. Because I'm really not a boy. Because what something good happened this week, that's because Hashem made it happen. And if something didn't go my way this week, that's also because Hashem made it happen. Hashem is still creating this world. Quote, He is still in full control. You are building the edifice of Shabbos in your mind. That's what you should think about on Shabbos. I am building a building. I am building a Mishkan where the Shechina could rest, and it's called Shabbos. And where am I building it? In my mind. You could go through the same action with intent and without intent. You could cook. You don't cook. Wow, you know, you look at the chicken and gravy on Shabbos morning, you say, I wish I could warm this up. Don't just say it's usher because it's in sauce, wet, thick, liquidy sauce. I'm not creating because Hashem is in control of the world. You must build the Shabbos edifice in your mind. While we do not create anything on Shabbos that you can see, you're actually very busy building on Shabbos. What are you building, says Rav Miller? You're building a Mishkan in your mind. You're building on Shabbos, the Shabbos mind. That's what we should think on Shabbos. I am building the Shabbos mind. I am building the Shabbos Mishkan. Where? Inside of me. That's what I'm busy doing on Shabbos. And one of the songs on Shabbos, my timing I think is actually going to be perfect. Baruch Hashem. Siyata Deshmaya. One more paragraph from Miller. In one of the songs on Shabbos, we say as follows, it's Dvar Yikra. Okay? He doesn't quote it as a Dvar Yikra, but it is. I remember it. I went to look it up. The last stanza of Dvar Yikra, the bench was in front of me. De'ei chachma l'nafshecha, no wisdom for yourself. V'hi keser l'roshecha, Rav Miller quotes this stanza, as it will be a crown, a keser, upon your head, l'roshecha. Nitzor mitzvas kedoshecha, guard the command of your Holy One. So now Rav Miller says, in one of the songs on Shabbos, we sing as follows. De chachma l'nafshecha, he's going to put the whole thing together. No wisdom for yourself. V'hi keser l'roshecha, it will be a crown upon your head. Nitzar mitzvahs kedoshecha, guard the command of the Holy One, meaning Hashem. Now, the end of the stanza is Shemar Shabbos kodshecha, guard the Sabbath of the Holy One. The end of the stanza is an explanation of the first words. How will you know wisdom for yourself? How will you acquire wisdom? How will you come to be crowned with the crown upon your head? What's the answer? Nitzor mitzvas kedoshecha, shemor Shabbos kodshecha. How will you know wisdom for yourself? How will you acquire wisdom that will be the crown of your head in Olam Haba? He says the crown, v'hikesser l'roshecha, is not only referring to whatever you may or may not acquire in this world, but ultimately Shabbos is me'in Olam Haba. And on Shabbos you have the crown of the Ribbono Shel Olam, hopefully, and in Olam Haba, Be'ezrat Hashem, we will be near to, hopefully, the Shechina. How will you acquire the wisdom that will be the crown on your head in Olam Haba? Shemar Shabbos Kodshecha. Those are the final words of the Dvar Yikra on the last line of the stanza. Shemar Shabbos Kodshecha, by keeping Shabbos properly. So Shemar Shabbos Kodshecha refers back to De'ei Chachma L'nafshecha. If you keep Shabbos properly, not just refrain from work, everything that we've learned today, build the edifice of Shabbos in your mind. You're actually very busy working on Shabbos. You're working with what? Working on building the idea of what Shabbos means. La'asos is an illusion. That's why I stop. If you can manage to shemar Shabbos kachacha, then you will have de'ei chachma l'nafshecha. Then you will acquire the keser l'roshecha through the path of nitzar mitzvahs kedoshecha, shemar Shabbos kachacha. So be'ezras Hashem, a lot to think about. Very practical, very chizuk filled, very profound teachings of Rav Avigdor Miller, and it really relates to why did I bring it to us here? As Rav Pinkas says, the last thing we read in Rav Pinkas is, to remember that Hashem created, maybe we should work on Shabbos. Maybe we should do the 39 malachos on Shabbos. Maybe that would be a better testament to the fact that Hashem created the world. But no, says Reb Pinkas. Menuchas ahava nudava, menuchas emes ve'emuna, menuchas shalom ve'shalva. Why do we rest on Shabbos? And I think Rav Pinkas is going to go over the next chapters and answer, but I think Rav Avigdor Miller Zatzal brings us very profound insights, a lot to think about, and really addresses this question. So we thank our sponsor, does not want to be named, and her family very, very much. Tiskul mitzvos ala ma'isim tovim. It should bring you many Shabbosos of menuchas, ahava, nedava, and emuna. And we should all be zochet to a wonderful Shabbos, Shabbat shalom, a true Shabbos of shalom, and besuras tovas. Oh! There's no shiur in 2 weeks. I'm going to talk to the sponsor. I'm not teaching last week of June. Okay, I'm going to post it on the chat. Have a good Shabbos, everybody. Thank you so much. Kol tov. Thank you.